Yes.
Thank you, Brother Rick. Take your Bible today.
Turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27, I want you to look at that verse 16. Verse 16, for a just man falls seven times and rises up again. I want to talk to you today about how to quit quitting. Well, there's a lot of people quitting today. A lot of people just quitting. They're just giving up. A lot of people just saying, I've had it. I'm not going to do anymore. I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm tired. I've had it. And, you know, if everybody feels that way, we're really in trouble. Like I was talking about the truckers. If the trucker says, I've had it, I don't like all these regulations, these crazy things that they're literally, her husband works for a trucking company, she works for a trucking company, dispatch, and what do? Bill. Yeah. Yeah. And so, there's a lot of new regulations out there. Crazy. And I know a guy in our church, Brother Harold, used to drive a truck from from out of Canada with LP and not LP, LP? What are they? Propane, yeah, propane. And boy, they got so crazy about that, they finally just quit. They just sold their company. They said, hey, we're not going to deal with this anymore because it was just crazy stuff. And so if you quit on us, we are going to go hungry. So we hope that you will go out there and rah-rah-ree and go out there and do it. Amen. And so I want to talk to you about this. The Bible says in verse 16, chapter 24 of Proverbs, for a just man, a man that's just, a man that he's honest. He believes in justice. All of us, hopefully, believe in justice. I love justice. I love that everybody gets the same opportunity. Sometimes people get the same opportunity, but they do not take care of what they have been given. Many times people squander those opportunities, and therefore they do not get what the other person does that stays at it. And I think that that's no more than right. I don't think that a man, if he sits around, the Bible said if a man don't work, he don't eat. I think a man ought to work hard. I can understand there's assistance programs out for people to help them get on their feet and then go. I understand that, but I just can't understand why people would just want to keep living on everybody else. Somebody said that 43% of the population now is feeding the rest of us. That doesn't work very good. I remember Paul Harvey told a story about the chicken that laid eggs, and then all of a sudden how it went and said, I'm not going to lay eggs anymore. You can lay your own eggs, amen. And everybody had a part of it. Everybody wanted a part of it. So let's be honest. Let's be Christian about this. The Bible says that we ought to be hard workers, and God gives all of us the same opportunities. We are all given the alien right to freedom, and we ought to take advantage of that. But we should not live on the other person's coattail and get dragged around by it. We ought to do our own thing, amen. I can understand when people get sick, people have a hard time. I understand that, but there's assistance programs out there. But bless God, once you got out under that rock or got over the hoop, you ought to keep going, amen, or something. Or a me. Oh my. Oh my. So a just man falls seven times. He's almost destroyed. He's almost, you know, Paul wrote about these that he was knocked down but not knocked out and on, you know. So I want to give you some information here how you can quit quitting. Number one, remember your salvation. If you're keeping notes, remember your salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ, forgive your sins and come into your heart. Just like Chris and Marcia Lynn, four weeks ago, asked Jesus Christ to come into their hearts. Next week they came back with some friends and they asked Jesus in their heart and they got baptized, amen. And then last week came to church, handed me their marriage certificate, and we had a marriage ceremony right here. And they got things taken care of there, amen. And And they came back, and I don't know what we can do special next week, but oh yeah. But we remember salvation. That'll keep us from quitting. You know, Jesus Christ forgave us sin. I want to tell you a little story about a little guy named Sheldon Shear. I grew up at Hope Baptist Church in Hope, Michigan, and I had every opportunity to hear the clear gospel presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That I should not eat breakfast. That's breakfast, amen. And when I did that, I remember what I ate, amen. Our church was, it was a growing church, had a great pastor. We had great preachers come in. We had missionaries come in. We had evangelists come in. And my mom was the kind of lady she was, that if a preacher came to town or a missionary came, we invited them out to the farm. And we had a big spread. And I was happy that they came because mom always had at least two kinds of meat, amen, chicken or beef or something out there, pig or something like that, pork, I guess you don't call it pig, but anyway. And her fish or something like that, she always made a big deal. And one day, Mom was making dinner. I said, "Who's coming over today?" She said, "Just us. Just us. We're eating all this." But anyway, I went to summer camps. I went to Vacation Bible School. I recall, and when I was in third and fourth grade, our pastor, Pastor Dwayne Lindsay, he had asked evangelists to come to our church to preach, and we held, two or three week evangelistic meetings. And while that evangelist there, he went down to our local school and invited the local school to come down for an afternoon to hear the preacher and the evangelist. Can you imagine that? Public school coming down the whole, it was Hope School, and Hope School had eight grades in it. And, it was a two room schoolhouse. Had eight grades in, and I remember walking down a quarter mile from the school, all the school good, down to my home church. And they all went in there and met, and I'll tell you what, people, a bunch of kids got saved that day. It was the most amazing thing in life. Bunch of kids, just having come down, and they had a wonderful time. Our church was involved in Children's Bible Hour. I don't know if you remember that, Aunt B and Children's Bible Hour. Our church supported them. In fact, Uncle Charlie and a bunch of the kids came to our house. They came to our church and put on a program at our church and then came to our house. Boy, we had a wonderful time. Of course, Mama made all that wonderful food, amen. Our church is very active in Youth for Christ, when Youth for Christ stood for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every month we loaded up to youth rallies, and then we went to state youth rallies. And without a doubt, the church is a Bible-preaching church all the time. Mission conference, revival evangelistic meeting. I'll tell you what, I never missed a service. My mama said the doors are open, we're to be there, amen. And but for some reason, this little country boy wasn't paying much attention and missed the whole thing. It wasn't until I was 14 years old that the state youth rally at Dr. Harold Sugden's church in Southside Baptist Church, East Lansing, Michigan, at the last service Saturday morning, I for the first time realized I was a lost sinner and I was on my way to hell. It seemed as though that preacher must have talked to my mom and my pastor. He said, "I don't care if your mama is a Sunday school teacher." I'm going, "My mom's a Sunday school teacher. I don't care if your mama's the president of the missionary society of your church." And I'm looking a little closer and I'm saying, "That's my mama. I don't care if she's the godliest lady in the world." That was true. "And it doesn't matter if your daddy's a fine deacon in your church." Then I knew that they had talked. "And your daddy's a good father and provide for your family." That was my dad. "If you don't ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and ask him to be your personal savior," and he pointed his long, bony index finger past 2,000 kids in that auditorium, right to me, because I was sitting in the back seat, in the back row. The problem was my mama was sitting next to me. And he said, with a loud voice. You split hell wide open. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. And I'm going like, oh, my goodness. And it just seemed like God said, son, you listen to me now. This is the last time I'm going to talk to you. That's what God, it seemed to me. God audibly, almost, I know he didn't audibly, but I thought it. He said, this is the last time. And if you don't receive me now, I'm going to leave you alone. Before that lady could sit down on that organ to play just as I am, I started coming down that aisle. And the church was built like this, like a theater, and then it had a... And when you started down, I just kept getting faster and faster. I didn't know if I was going to run into that pulpit when I got down. I was just running so fast. And the preacher said, what you come for? And I said, I need to get saved. He said, we can take care of that, young man. Sent me over in the back room, sat down on an old brown cold chair, and the man there says, what can I do? And I said, I need to be saved. He says, you want me to help you? I said, no. I know how to do it. I've heard it so many times. I know I'm a sinner. And I know because of my sins I owe a terrible, terrible price, and that's death and hell. And I need to ask Jesus in my heart. He said, just go right ahead. And I said, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I've run. I ask you to forgive me all my sins coming in my heart. And before I could say amen, the Spirit of God moved into my heart. And man, oh man, what a deal in my life did it change. So when you are about to quit, and troubles come in your heart and your life, and it doesn't seem like everything's just right, just remember that day when you were like I, 14 years old, who finally realized that it wasn't about me. It was all about him. I was a sinner. He was a Savior. And he'd come in if I'd asked him to be my personal Savior. And he said that I will never leave you nor forsake thee. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So when troubles come and heartaches come in our hearts, our lives, and we feel so alone or so helpless or so turned around and and it seemed like everybody's against us, we can say, wait a minute, I got one that's not against me. His name is Jesus. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I love that old song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I can see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed. Hey, when you're about to quit, remember Jesus saved you. Remember he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Unfortunately, I got away from the Lord when I was in high school. I ran with some pretty tough kids. They were the kind of teens that Solomon told his son not to run with in Proverbs chapter 1:10. They were truly rough and unruly. They're ungodly. They're wicked. And I walked in their counsel of the ungodly. And I stood in the way of sinners, and I sat in the seat of the scornful. The Scripture tells us not to do in Psalm 1. I saw this in the book, in the Bible one day. I was reading, and I thought, that's me. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 7. Solomon had a son named Rehoboam. And Rehoboam was ruined by the guys he ran with. But I never saw this verse before. You ever read in your Bible, you see a verse that says, man, I've read this Bible through so many times, I've never seen it. Boy, what in the world? This is good. And I write it down, amen. 2 Chronicles 13:7. You ought to write this down, especially you teenage boys. 2 Chronicles 13:7. And there were gathered unto him, Rehoboam, vain men, the children of Belial, or children of the devil, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand them. That was me. I couldn't withstand them. They're powerful. They made sinful things look good and righteous things look bad, and they laughed and they mocked and they caroused and they tried to get me to do the same thing. My friend, sometimes you just got to cut and run. Sometimes you just got to leave. Sometimes you got to run away from people. You can't fight them. You can't battle them. I don't care how big a Christian you are, how tough a Christian, you cannot battle them. Joseph. You remember Joseph and Potiphar's wife tried to get him to make love to her? And he refused? And he lost his coat over it. She tore him. She had a hold of him. He ain't going to get a hold of me, woman. Sometimes you just got to cut and run. Take the loss. You said, but if I have to move and I have to lose my house, it's better to lose your house and lose your life. Better lose your house and lose your teenage kids. Sometimes you got to cut and run. Sometimes you need to get out of that old church you were going that's not standing for the way you used to stand. Sometimes they don't even preach out of the same Bible anymore. They got rock and roll in your church. They're trying to, you know, they have to put thunder and lightning and bombs and all kinds of stuff just to get you to come and see it and have confetti and. Simon came to church a couple of weeks ago, and he says, "You know, preacher, I can't go to that church anymore." How's that? He says, "I went to this church, and the worship leader cursed three times on the platform of the church. The Bible said, 'Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing.'" You got to get down and dirty so that you can get these people. God said, "You live righteous. We're to live righteous in an unrighteous world." Good night. We come to church to get out of the world. We come here to say, you know what? We don't want a part of that. We want God. We want righteousness. We want morals. Some of these places, the guys look more girlish than the girls look like guys. There ought to be a distinction. My friend, sometimes we just need to cut and run. The public school, the Meridian High School, bombarded me with new thoughts. My church and parents would say one thing, and my teacher that I admired with all their education and things that they had on their walls. Our science teachers told us that science had, without question, proved evolution was the best way to believe. It was the only way that you could have been formed over millions of years. Carbon dating was factual. Bam! Another nail against my faith. Another stripe to doubt this little boy's heart. They claimed that the world was at least a billion years old. And one day my pastor was preaching. And he said that this world, at the most, was 6,000 years old, according to the Bible, and he could prove chronologically, going from Adam, who lived 930 years, and he brought it out, and he just showed it for him, and he said, "This is how old our world is." And God said, in the beginning, there's no way of saying there's things behind that. In the beginning, God created the heaven, get that now, the heavens weren't billions and billions. He said he created the heaven and the earth. How stupid can we get? I mean, it's right there. But the scientists, no. Let me tell you something. There's a whole bunch of scientists today that are saying, no. The earth is a young earth. It's around 6,000 years old. And there's no other way of proving it. They found that under some buildings they built in New York and also in Washington, D.C., that there are stalactites and stalagmites under those buildings that are only 100 years old. And they've carbon dated them, and they've said that, oh, these are billion years old. You got a little problem with your carbon dating there, boys. Give me a break. But all these things were shattering my faith as a young man. And I'll tell you what, I thought about quitting, but I also remembered that Jesus saved me, and he said he would forgive me and that he would take care of me. And so I, instead of quitting, I remembered my salvation. Then I went to, in my junior and senior years, I took a class in psychiatry. Many times in class, our teacher, Mr. Burza, would encourage us to play with the Ouija board, also known as the spirit board or the talking board. It was a flat marked board with letters and numbers and symbols. Supposedly, they were to communicate with the spirits. Oh, that's a blessing. My dad's a deacon. We're Baptists. My mother is a Sunday school teacher and the president of the Women's Missionary Society, and I'm playing with a spirit board. That's really good. It used what they call a planchette, which is a small heart-shaped piece of wood and movable indicator indicated the spirit's message by spelling out on the board during the seance. This is getting me the heebie-jeebies even talking about. Just remember that. The fingers of the seance participants would place their hand on the planchette and they would move about the board and spell out messages. It was fascinating to me, especially when two of the girls got on there and said, are we going to be married? And I'd say, yes. And are you going to have your children? And say, yes. And what are their names? And it'd start spilling out their names. This is all done in quote-unquote fun. After a while, I was fascinated with it, but all of a sudden, I got scared of the thing. I looked at it. I wouldn't play it anymore. This is in my public school. This is back in 1964, 5, 6. 1964. What happened in 1964 in America? Oh, let's see. They said no more prayer in the school. But they bring this stuff into the school. And they could say, well, the Bible is just a myth. But evolution is the truth. 62, 63, 64, 65. I look at the schools. I remember kids getting kicked out of school because they didn't wear a belt with their blue jeans. You couldn't wear blue jeans at my school. You had to have a button-down shirt. Nobody came in blue jeans. Nobody came in T-shirts. I was shocked the other day. I was walking by the school, and I see these girls that they look like they were going swimming. Some of them look like they just came from bedroom. You go to school like that. By the way, they kicked out kids because they didn't have their hair cut right. Oh, yeah, that was really bad. We got kicked out of school for chewing gum. I don't hardly ever remember a police officer in my school. That's when he came and picked up his boy to take him home. Because he was on his way home and thought he'd just pick up Bob, take him home. I never seen a cop in there. I don't remember having anybody had drugs in my school. But you know, it's a funny thing. When that Bible left that school, I remember my school teacher inviting children to go to Sunday school, and she'd go around and pick them up. I remember, I think it was Brother Howell talking about how that they had a sign on the wall how many kids went to school, and the whole school participated. The one that had the most kids that went to Sunday school on that Sunday got the ribbon or something that day, that week. I remember we had the same thing. We had perfect attendance. What has happened to America? You ever wonder? I do. So when you think about quitting, think about your salvation. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad if you died today, you go to heaven? So, oh, the worst thing you do is I get killed. Are you kidding me? The worst thing you do, you go to heaven? Amen. What's wrong with that? You don't have to pay bills up there. No taxes. Glory to God. No fixing dinner. God's going to have it. No washing clothes. Glory to God. That's what Charlotte says. Amen. Secondly, I think that thing to keep you from quitting is that you know that Jesus is coming back. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, but the heaven and the earth, which are now, look at it, if you open your Bible, please, 2 Peter 3, 7, but the heaven and the earth, the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. There you go. Al Gore was right. Reserved to fire against the judgment day of the perdition of the ungodly man, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. There's your global warming, amen. And look at it in the Bible. Don't look at me like that. And the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall dissolve and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both forever. Amen. At the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, they said, why stand thee gazing up into heaven? The same Christ went up to you. He's going to come back. He's going to come and get us. Ah, listen to that story. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner, and ye shall have seen him go into heaven. How outstanding. You got troubles today? Jesus is coming back. You say, but preacher, this world is going crazy. As the Bible says, this world's got to go crazy before he comes back. So why does it surprise you? Why should this all this stuff surprise you with this hatred and this racism and this and these wars and rumors of wars and ISIS and ay-ay-ay and all the rest of this stuff, you know? Why should this surprise you? I'm not saying we don't like it. I don't like it. I hate it. I just despise what's going on in our communities. I despise what's going on in our country. It really gnaws me. I mean, it just eats me. But I know the Lord is coming back. He said he's coming. The Bible says in the day of Noah, so shall it be. How is it in the day of Noah? Homosexuality, beastly. They had all kinds of stuff that going on, drinking and gay and marriage and out of marriage and on and on. What does this surprise us? He said, in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Why did God destroy everything on this earth through the great flood? Because of sin. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God knows about us. He hadn't forgot about us. He hadn't forgot about you people that are out serving the Lord and got a lift in your step and a twinkle in your eye, and you have a wonderful word for the Lord, and you're trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. Why is it surprising that these things are happening? He said, but preacher, I don't like it. I didn't say you hadn't liked it. But I'm telling you, to quit from quitting, you remember you're saved. That's good. Number two, because you're saved, Jesus is coming back and he's going to take you with you. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You'll always be with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That ought to make a Methodist shout. Amen. Third, what I remember about heaven. The account is told a few hours before the entering into his homeland. Dwight Moody, the great preacher, caught a glimpse of glory awakening him. And awaking from his sleep, he said, "Earth recedes. Heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me. I must go." Remember now, he's about dead. But he speaks. His son standing next by him said, "No, no, Father, you're dreaming." And old Moody said, "No, I'm not dreaming. I've been in within the gates. I have seen the children's faces." A short time elapsed, and then following that seemed the family a death struggle. He spoke one more time. "This is my triumph. This, my coronation day. It is glorious." He's gone. A news reporter was in there and reported that. A guy named G.W. Rideout. And you can look it up. You can look it up in the history books. You see, if we would only remember, actually, I mean realize that all we do is going to be rewarded. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you may be." Thank God for Thomas. The doubting Thomas. "Lord, we don't know whither thou goest, and how do we know the way?" Jesus took care of it all for us. He says, "I am the way." So we're going to get there. "I'm the truth. I never tell you a lie. I'm the life. I'm the everlasting life. No man." For some of you who are tilting on this fact that anybody can get to heaven just being good, you are incorrect, and you'll burn in hell for that. "No man cometh on the Father but by me." Jesus said, "It is not works that any man should boast. It's a gift of God." I hope today that there's been a time in your life that was like a time in my life that I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. And he did. I want to leave you with one more thing. I know it's late. It's 12:07. I've got a good clock up here. It's electronically designed. You're supposed to stay here till 12:15, so hang on. Take a Valium or something. Fourthly, I cannot quit by remembering my disappointments when I did quit. When I have quit some things, almost finished, and I've quit some things, and I've lost out on the privilege of it. When I was a little boy, they said, "You got to learn the memory scriptures, and you'll get your free way to camp." I messed around, and I didn't do it, and the pastor came to my house and said, Claire, talking to my dad, says, "Why don't you just let your boy?" He said, "No. You made the rule. The rule said he has to learn these scriptures, and he didn't learn them scriptures. He's not going to camp." My pastor just about had a fit right there. He said, "But Claire," he said, "No," he says, "it's the rules. He didn't learn them." That taught me a long time ago that when I'm to do something, I do it. As many times, Miss Charlotte finding out that this old boy doesn't go to bed a lot, early night. I have learned in my life that I've got to get things done to make sure they're done so I'm ready for tomorrow. And some of you have enough character that do that. I have an overload at my house. There's some things in my life that are just not like they used to be. There's things that have to be done by me, yours truly, because nobody else is going to do them. Some people just sit there and watch me do them, and she thinks it's cute. But I have to do them. Some of you gentlemen that are in high echelon in your jobs know that it's all boiled down, the buck stops here. And if it's going to be done, you got to do them. You got to make sure they're done. That's called character. Character says, I'll do it before I go to sleep. I'll yawn. I'll go drink 3 or 4 Mountain Dews, but I'm going to get this thing done. That's what keeps me from quitting. Remembering the disappointments that I had for not doing what I was supposed to do. A man was asked after many failures why he never seemed discouraged or depressed over championing an unpopular fight. He explained, duty is ours. Results are God. I do my job, and then God takes care of it. Oh, by the way, that was John Quincy Adams. Here's a poem I want to read you, and I'm going to let you go. You still have 5 minutes with me. Stand by. It's called Rest, But Don't Quit. Years ago, my friend, Dennis Streeter, my cousin, I was going through some difficult times in my church in South Dakota. And he knew it, and we were close, very close back then. And he sent me this card, and it said, when things go wrong, as they sometimes do, I was always going to say always do, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low, anybody raise your hand on that one, and the debts are high, you want to smile, but you have to sigh when care is pressing you don't, you're down a bit. Rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is queer, with its twists and turns. And every one of you sometimes learn that many failures turn about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You might succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success's failure turned upside inside out the silver tin and the cloud of doubt. You never can tell how close you are. It may be when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. When things seem worse, that you mustn't quit. Playing football in college, and the coach was defensive coach was explaining some things. He says, now listen, when you're really pounded, and man, when they're coming at, guess what? That's where the ball's coming. That's where they're coming. That's when you got to grit your teeth and growl like an old grizzly bear and grab every ankle and leg you can get a hold of. Because when it's coming at you, that's where it's at. By the way, your preacher had, in my last year of football and defensive end, I had the next most tackles every game and recovered 3 football fumbles every game. I learned something from that guy that said, when it really gets tough, that's when you can shine. Some of you people are going through things in your life that you have never gone before. Some of you people are going through some things that you never, ever expected that you would have to endure. But let me tell you something. Don't give up. Satan tries everything he can to destroy you and to... I said this lady to me the other day. I heard this from Mrs. Evans. She said, the greatest hurt you'll ever have is with families. They will hurt you the most. Your family will hurt you the most than anybody else in the world. They'll hurt you. She said, I don't know why, but my hardest hurts of my heart are because of my family. You say, it's not right. I know it's not right. It's not fair. Nothing's fair. Everybody's having trouble. Everybody's going through trouble in their life. I don't care. If I sat down with you in 15 minutes, I could tell you that you're having a difficult time. But I will tell you that I remember my salvation. When I think about quitting, I remember, how could I quit? What did Jesus do for me? He went and died on the cross and shed His blood so that I could live free and I could have a home in heaven. Number two, I know He's coming back. I know He's coming back. I know He's coming back. And then, I don't want to disappoint myself again. Because every time I quit, I fail. I don't want to fail. I want to keep going. For Christians, don't give up. Don't give up. There's too much in life to give up. Some people say it's not worth it. Take care of themselves. That's the stupidest, meanest, incredible thing to ever do in anybody. You just wait. Things do get better. They do. If you trust the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord Jesus, for today. Thank You for these dear folks who sat so kindly and listened so carefully. Lord, may we in our lives say, I'm not quitting. I'm going to keep remember my salvation. I'm going to keep remember that You're coming back. I'm going to keep remember there's a heaven. And I'm also going to remember that when we do quit, we disappoint ourselves. I don't deal with it. I got enough trouble. I don't deal with that too. Speak to our hearts. Heads about eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my heaven. We go to heaven. I never did what you did when you were 14 years old in that youth conference where you realized that you were a sinner and you realized because of your sin you owe a terrible price. I've never done that. I want to do that today. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else say, you know, that's me. God bless you. There comes a time and a place in your life that you need to come to Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you're here today and you raise your hand and said, you know, I need that today. I'm going to ask you to come near. I'm going to take the Bible and show you how I can know for sure you die. You go to heaven. It's the greatest thing in the world. Please do that for Jesus. Let's all stand. Everyone's standing. You're here today and you say, preacher, today I want to receive Christ as my personal Savior. You come right now. Pianist's going to play. You come. Won't you come? Let me show you from the Word of God how you know for sure you're saved. Won't you do that today? Won't you come?
Bring me some help.
You're here today and say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, there's not been a time in my life that I've done that. I've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Hey, you know what? Every week people do that at this church. Let me encourage you to do that today. Won't you come to Jesus today and say, preacher, today I want to be sure I'm saved. Today I want to be sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, preacher, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism that's down in the water and up out of the water, signifying or showing or putting the uniform on that I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and raised on that's what baptism is about. I just want to praise the Lord for that. You're today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve at. You come at this time. You're today and you say, preacher, there's been times in my life that I've thought about quitting. Times in my life I just say, I can't keep this up. Let me remind you, my dear friends, the Bible says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. I hear a lot of preachers say, the Lord won't bring anything to you that you can't withstand. No, you got to read some more. The Bible says, or He'll provide a way of an escape. And this is the escape. Cast your cares upon Him. Lord, here they are. Here they're at Your feet. I can't do it. I don't know which way to turn. But I know You do. I'm going to trust You in this thing. It's called faith, by the way. Lord, I'm just going to trust You in this. Help me, dear Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray You'd bless this time. Thank You for these who made decisions today. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd help us walk closer to you. We love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of your return. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all these things you've given us in our lives. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.